Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Did all you smart people know that Lisa was fed up with her job and didn't want to do it anymore?
No. In fact, last month when the Cook County top Democratic slate makers got together, she sent a representative over to ask for support for endorsement for reelection.
What does the attorney general do?
Well, the attorney general's truly the top law enforcement and legal officer in the state.
Is it a difficult job? I mean, does it require you fighting fights? I mean, I'm not exactly, you know, you're not negotiating with Democrats and Republicans, so.
No, but it does get involved in politics because, you know, one of the jobs is defending state law from legal challenges. Also, you know, providing opinions of how state law ought to work.
And she stuck her neck out there a few times, hasn't she?
Well, and she basically
disagreed with the governor.
Disagreed with the Mayor Emanuel over the Justice Department consent decree idea. She was for it, and of course, we've seen how that's kind of developed.
And she doesn't agree with the governor on the DACA issue, right? Or
correct.
Immigrant status?
I mean, one of the things that she's been doing of late really has been joining with a lot of the Democrat attorneys general from around the country on taking on Trump and the Trump administration and some of these issues that, you know, Democrats in Congress are opposing the president.
Do you agree with my suggestion that she is the most efficient and popular, the most effective politician in the state?
Well, certainly her record of support shows that. I mean, the same might be said, though, of perhaps Jesse White as Secretary of State, who, you know, just constantly wins just about every county in the state.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, people talk about, well, what has Republican Governor Bruce Rauner really accomplished in his first year or first term? And I think one thing you can say he definitely has accomplished, he's the money behind all of the advertising that has run constantly that tarnishes her father, House Speaker Michael Madigan. And I think there is tarnish that does get attached
to her.
Yes.
Well, first of all, how is that an accomplishment by the governor?
I'm just saying, well, compared to what else?
I'm sorry, but I mean
we now have a school bill, and, but you know what I'm saying is, you know, people are asking what are his accomplishments, and frankly, the accomplishment is a political one and tarnishing the Madigan brand.
Do you buy that? Does the is that a fair criticism of her, the criticism of her father?
Well, I think one thing is that I think, obviously, her political future, I think, has been stunted by her father.
What was that? What was her political potential?
Well, I mean, she had looked, at the last governor's race. She had looked at running for that, was actively talking about it, and then abruptly said, well, I can't run for governor as long as my father is Speaker of the House.
I think as well as a lot of us know her or know of her, we really don't know her temperament. Like, would she be a better senator and administrator, you know, a player, or would she be a better chief executive?
Well, remember, she was in the Illinois State Senate prior to being attorney general. And one thing that is pretty much known is that she prefers an executive office rather than a legislative
office. She'd rather
office.
Maybe be a governor than a senator.
Correct.
Or maybe better suited for that.
Right. Just of having more of the executive responsibility than just being one of several legislators.
Who would want to be governor of Illinois?
Well, hey, look at all the candidates.
Explain that to me how people who are as successful as you can be in all of these different areas want to be governor of Illinois. I will discount your success or intelligence by that ambition alone.
Well, you know, it's a very valid question. And you have these, obviously, ego is a very important part of the role of any politician. But you have some of them who believe that they can right the ship of state. And that's going to take a lot of work. It reminds me of when Mayor Emanuel was elected, and his campaign, you know, theme was that, you know, that I got elected to make the hard decisions.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't necessarily happen the first term, but you're seeing those hard decisions, you know, just about every day when it comes to your taxes.
I've wondered that too, when I think about what a day for Mayor Emanuel is like, and I think that just doesn't sound like things I want to do every day. You know, I mean, ribbon cuttings are nice, but even those must at some point get tedious. And then you've got to stick your neck out there and get completely vilified and criticized, you know? I mean, who wants to be mayor either?
Right. No, and you know, as far as ribbon cuttings, look on the state level, we haven't had a public works kind of program that exists in the state since Pat Quinn. There aren't any ribbons to go cut.
Hey, what's Pat Quinn's future these days?
I think he would still like to be gaining attention. You know, someone even floated his name as a possible candidate.
I heard that.
Attorney General. It's possible, but I think once you've held the office of governor, that pretty much.
So back to Lisa Madigan, she's not going to run again.
Right.
And you said, okay, maybe her political image is a little tarnished by her father's. Thank you very much, Bruce Rauner. But she would still get reelected to that office.
Oh, absolutely. And she's her own person. Now, I will say that, you know, Republicans this time had put up Erica Harold from Urbana. Erica Harold's an attorney. She actually was a former Miss America, used her winnings from Miss America basically to help pay for her law school education.
Hmm.
Ran for Congress downstate once and lost in a primary. But they announced her last month as the Republican candidate to take on Lisa Madigan, African-American woman. Interesting dynamic for Illinois Republicans. Now, there's kind of some back-channel second thoughts here now that Lisa Madigan's not running about, you know, maybe there's some other Republicans that might want to run for this office now that it's been elevated to kind of a top-tier statewide race.
It's not one of those that automatically goes to a Democrat?
What's that? The
Attorney General's office?
Not necessarily, no. Yeah. I mean, I will say Lisa Madigan from, you know, this would have been her attempt for a fifth four-year term. But even from her first candidacy, she really didn't face a substantial Republican opponent.
What's this job pay? What are we looking at here? $100,000?
Over $100,000.
Who was the last Republican, Rick? Was it
Jim Ryan?
Ryan. Which would have been in the 80s or mid-90s, early 90s?
Well, frankly, you know, when he ran after George Ryan. So that would have been in the 2000s.
So she's not going to have that income anymore. I'm just wondering how she's going to get along.
Well, you know, people wondered about the suddenness of this announcement. And one of the issues, not from people who know her, but speculating that, you know, here, given this career that she's had and a successful career, perhaps this is about going to make some rain.
Sure, I don't mean so she'll go work for Jim Thompson's firm or she'll go find some big law firm
or work for as a corporate counsel somewhere.
Yeah, boy, she could make some money doing that. How much do you think that's worth?
I couldn't.
$100,000.
I think of a little bit more than that.
Don't scoff at $100,000.
Hey, I work for the Tribune. I know. I know what riches are. I know what aspiring to is.
So if she decides to cash in and go take her seven-figure paycheck somewhere, I don't blame her for that.
No. I mean, and as I said, you would be hard-pressed to find someone that would find something wrong with her career other than perhaps those that say, you know, she and this is a common complaint, and it doesn't matter who holds the office about it. They didn't fight corruption enough in a corruption state, except that the duties of the office aren't really designed for that.
Well, here's what I know happened to me. I had a disagreement with the utility company. I thought they had an unfair contract that my signature was on, and so I wrote a letter to Lisa Madigan. I said, hey, Lisa, and here's the thing, and I filled it all out. And then I know she got that letter, read it, and thought, thoughtfully. She penned a note then to that utility company, and the utility company then said, okay, we'll do what you want. And I went through the Attorney General's office for that. And I was so appreciative of that.
Well, and frankly, that's a lot of, I mean, constituent service, I guess, is we always talk about that being the bread and butter of any politician. But quite frankly, with the Attorney General's office,
that's what her
consumer
affairs
is. Yes, well, it's definitely part of that is the, you know, consumer affairs and responsibility stuff.
And right. And all they did was write a letter to that company saying, one of your customers has this problem. What's going on here, right? And I'm sure that company saw that and thought, oh, crap, we don't need this for one account, all the bad publicity or whatever would happen. And I was Joe Citizen. I didn't say I had a radio
right.
show. And all of a sudden, my problem went away because of the Attorney General's office in Illinois.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, and quite frankly, that has been a major focus of her tenure.
Okay, so let's leave that for a second. Okay. I have to pause. Will you come back and talk a little national politics with me for just a second?
Sure.
As you do on the Sunday Spin, you can read Rick on ChicagoTribune.com in print as well. And on Sunday mornings, what time do we hear you?
7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Here on WGN Radio. I wonder what Rick says about a couple of other stories. Rick Pearson's in our studio. He writes for the Chicago Tribune about politics. He hosts a Sunday Spin show about politics on WGN Radio Sunday mornings. What's the most interesting Trump story to you this week?
What I have to think is the continued efforts by him to work with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and how, you know, we kept seeing his frustration with the Republican leaders of Congress. And now, you know, it's like, oh, let's have Chuck and Nancy over for dinner. And a lot of talk, obviously, about Schumer being kind of the New Yorker style that Trump can appreciate and that they can cut through most of the Washington bureaucraties kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here's a guy I can cut a deal with kind of thing. But it's very funny, too, seeing some of the blowback from the Democratic side of what are you guys doing cutting a deal with Donald Trump? You know, I mean, we don't like Donald Trump and that kind of thing.
Well, you know what us talk show hosts say, if you've got people mad at you on both sides, you're doing something right.
Well, it's like being the umpire. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's weird because Trump is doing something that I always wanted a politician to do, and that is put policy over party. And it seems like he's doing that too. And if he sort of, if he just forgets the Republican Party and is happy to embarrass Paul Ryan, which is his favorite thing to do again.
Right.
In the name of something that I think is worthwhile, like DACA, well, then that's a win-win. I mean, and not just for me, but I think for the country. Policy over party, over politics, and endorse something worthwhile,
well,
like DACA.
And indeed, I think that's what the Democratic leadership is saying.
How is it not that?
Is that, well, you know, he is the president, and if it's a program that is something that we support, we're going to be there.
Yeah. So there's the Republicans saying, no, wait a minute, we've worked for years to get to this position. We can finally affect policy that Republicans believe and value because we control both houses and
the
executive
branch. And we have the
White
House, yes.
So now let's get together and do stuff like that. We don't have a tax plan. We didn't get a health care reform. We don't have a wall built. We don't have immigration changes.
No infrastructure bill.
Yeah. So what's going on there? Why can't the president and his own party do the things they all want to do?
Well, and you know, it's the nature of politics, and with Republicans as well as Democrats, is that when you have control of something, then the fissures start developing. And that's the, you know, it's one little group can turn around and hijack the rest of the program.
Say it was Democrats who control both houses and Hillary's the president. Do you think Democrats would have this sort of, you know, the Bernie Sanders wing would
splinter
off and they'd all be mad at each other?
Sure. In any attempt, say if in the bizarro world, that would be the reverse of Hillary Clinton as president and Democrats controlling the House and Senate. You have them working to fix Obamacare, the elements of it. Well, then you could have that totally derailed by the Bernie Sanders supporters who are right now talking about, well, we want single-payer health care. And so any efforts to try to reach those compromises would probably fall apart.
Don't you? It's not constructive, but it's so delicious you just can't help pick up the Steve Mnuchin story. He's a zillionaire, right. And his wife is going to be fine. They have nothing but money and opportunity, and yet they're still trying to fly free on a government jet. And the explanation that, well, what if something happens while they're airborne and we need his opinion about a national security issue, so he's got to fly in a government jet?
No. No.
I'm like,
no.
I don't know. They could land the plane eventually and he could get to a phone. I don't know.
I would assume any plane that he can afford would actually have, not even, I'm not sure that in the event of, except a very major catastrophe, getting a hold of the Secretary of the Treasury.
I know. Well, that's it. That's it.
You're on the chain of command here. For
should we launch a nuclear bomb? I don't know. Quick, where's Steve Mnuchin? Quick, put down those Gucci bags. What should we do, Steve? He's at airborne, Steve.
Yeah, it's at 20,000 feet.
Steve, what do you think? And they call up to Steve, see what Mnuchin says. I just can't imagine a scenario where he couldn't be flying first class in a nice swell airplane, in his own airplane, or on Delta.
And he actually created some controversy meeting with Republicans over the issue of tax reform just in recent days, and how he was just kind of came off with all this bravado, and the members of Congress are like, hey, we're the ones that have to pass this thing. He left before they were done dealing with him.
Before I let you go, what do you make of the deal the Democrats might cut with the president? And that is, you give us the Dream Act and we'll give you border security, but we won't fund a wall for you. Do you like that deal?
Well, I mean, when you look at, and even the president cited the popularity of helping the DACA kids. The one thing I think that everybody forgets, though, is that the Dream Act itself does carry what's known as a path to citizenship. And, any comprehensive immigration reform will have to have that.
Sure.
Except that's what's kind of prevented it.
I wonder if the president knows that.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, all of a sudden you've got, what are you, you're talking amnesty, and the president says, no, not amnesty, DACA.
fine, DACA. Okay, yeah, then good, so, we'll do DACA.
But this is really, I think, the part to watch, because I don't think you'll find even staunch, even open borders types, if you want to go that far, that wouldn't support that kind of a trade-off of opening that door, even a crack to that path to citizenship.
And most Americans, most Republicans support enfranchising in some way these people. I mean, what's the point?
Well, and I mean, let's face it. Look, you have people fighting for the military, fighting for this country and what it stands for that can't get citizenship.
Rick, we will listen to you Sunday morning at 7. 7?
7 a.m., yes.
And
your first word on politics for the week.
And continue to read you in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks so much.